Thielen extends, playoffs underway, and the race for the top four is on fire. It's the Northeast Sportscast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. How are you guys?
Still good.
I'm so good.
Still great.
We had two solid pods already. Do you think this one's going to be any good?
I think it's going to be...
Are we losing steam, you think?
No.
I think we're building steam.
I think we're actually... If we did four more, we'd be good.
I think we need two more to have a decent podcast.
I agree. You were talking to a person who stays up till like one or two every day, so...
Who also claimed that when he has kids...
He's still going to stay up.
It's not going to change. The schedule will be exactly the same.
Can't wait for that.
Can't wait.
You have to understand, though,
Awakening
guys.
Will be rude.
You still have to understand, though, that I also have to wake up earlier than you guys for my job.
True. Oh,
what time do you get up?
7-ish.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, you got nothing on Ryan, but you do get up earlier than me.
Yeah, laughable.
Yeah, I get up at 7:15.
Yeah, like,
I'm up at 5:50.
That's rough.
I thought you had to get up a lot earlier than that.
We used to have to. We moved back from 7:25 to 8:35.
Because of the kids and because of you?
Because they were like, oh my gosh, people don't perform well at 7:25 in the morning. This is insane.
Was messed up.
Oh, kids who need like a billion hours of sleep and are awful at making decisions, can't go to bed at a good time, don't get enough sleep, and are literally fucking zombies, and their grades
and
their test scores are bad because of it. Maybe we should move it back, even if it costs us a little bit more money with buses. And that's what they did. So I get to sleep in a little bit more this year, and all it's done is made me more irresponsible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good to know.
Yeah, there we go.
So you're up. You're not worried about it.
FIFA.
Yeah. All right, guys. So here we go. We're underway here with the sports cast. And before we get into anything else, we need to ask you guys, the listeners, to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. I hope we're your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
Or at least one of your regulars. And it's crazy, honestly, especially when it comes to sports recently. I feel like we've been getting a lot from some of our loyal listeners, people from all over the country, people that we are getting to know just because of their amazing comments. So please comment, question us, ask us things. Just the other day, I challenged professional wrestling fans. I said, does anyone even watch professional wrestling anymore? Because we talked about WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And we found out, not really. But we did find out that there were people who, like me, who loved like late 90s pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And they compared
it. That was the apex, man.
Yeah, they compared you guys to like cool people. Like they said you were Stone Cold Steve Austin. They said you...
Dude, The Rock, does it get any better than that?
That's ideal.
I don't remember who they said you were, but it was also someone cool.
Goldust. Doubt it.
No, it was someone cool.
Goldust.
No, I'm going to look it up. But like
Mankind.
Mankind. Yeah, Jesus.
And then mine was this guy who...
The sock puppet must be the thing I do with the sock all the time, that they made that connection.
Socko.
Yeah.
You ever stub your toe on a sock?
and then my guy was like doing like a teacher routine. He was like an asshole teacher. And I was like,
they made up a character for you?
No. He was like a real guy. And like I just happened... He said that's who I was on the show.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the effort that I mean, I do love the listeners. I love all their contributions. If you comment anything to us on any social media, we will see it.
And at least I will. That's the bottom line. I'm going to be stone cold for the rest of the, like, this is going to be awesome.
We're going to get like two $8 cans of beer and Barter's going to smash them above his head.
I'm going to ruin the mixer. I'm going to ruin the iPad Pro or what's that called?
I don't know. I just know that
MacBook
you,
Pro, that's the word I was looking
you're
for.
Taking this as a like a real compliment and taking it really to heart. So I think you needed it.
So
I'm happy for you.
I kind of do the impressions on the pod.
You love to.
I'm going to workshop my Stone Cold this week.
Okay.
Like in the commute to and from work.
My favorite thing you ever did was like, I'm drinking whiskey. I'm drinking beer. I'm drinking tequila. I'm drinking vodka. I'm drinking more beer. I'm getting everything. It's going to be crazy. Remember that line? That little, like, it's big on YouTube.
Okay, so here is the guy, John Sprain, loyal listener. He said that I was like this guy named Matt Stryker, who was like an evil teacher.
Okay.
And he said that.
So he found the only teacher in WWE history and like just sort of like figured out a way to equate it to you.
So he posted this thing that was like this guy's debut where he was like ripping the fans in teacher character. And then he said, I mean, minus the whole family value stuff, but like Eric, I was waiting for him to call everyone mutants. And I said, this good. Just made my day. Am I the heel of the pod? And he said, not sure who replied, but the short answer is yes. The long answer is Eric is Matt Stryker, the teacher guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jim is Randy Savage.
Oh, and
Ryan is Stone Cold. You guys literally got like the two coolest people.
Like most iconic wrestlers of all time.
Who is this?
John Sprain.
Okay.
Loyal listener, John Sprain. So John, thank you for your effort. Your comments were.
He will never pay for a beer in my presence. Again.
Macho Man. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
That was
brother. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
All right. So, yeah, thank you for that. That was great. And that was a.
So we can never talk about wrestling again? Is that okay?
Hold on. Two weeks in a row.
No, dude, you're Randy Savage.
I know.
I'll bring some Slim Jims for our next pod.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
I love it.
All right, guys.
Let's move on.
So,
you'll die in your 50s. No big deal.
It's time for us to move on. Before we do, we have exciting new beer in front of us.
Very exciting beer.
What are we drinking, guys?
All right, so I'll take this one. This is Lupulin. It's out of Big Lake, right? So it's a little bit out there, but they ship in some wonderful beer into the Twin Cities. Made their name with Hooey. It's like one of the first hazy beers, and now hazy beers are everywhere. And then I don't know if they had a big follow-up to that, but they have this... Fruit Smack, which I fucking loved.
People love Blissful Ignorance.
Yes, they really do.
It's really good.
Yes. So they have made now this Sophistry series. It's like a gray can with this like really kind of nice looking, just one hop flower on the front. And it's an IPA, like definitely a hazy, kind of pretty big. I mean, it's a 7.5, so it's not like a double or anything. But they're kind of like doing this really sort of refined looking and tasting IPA with some different hop profiles. This is Mosaic, Sabro, and Eldorado. This is the second one they've done of these, and I really like it.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, it's such a tasty, balanced, yummy-ass beer. What do you guys think?
I love it.
Eric, I think you haven't tried it yet. He's still drinking his last beer.
Yeah, I'm about to do it. I'm pouring it right now as we speak. I'm going to give this can a Rotten Tomatoes score of a 91.
I think it's really strong. It's by far their best looking can they've done.
Less is more. It's a fantastic beer too. Just on its own. Like it looks hazy, but it's also looks a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as dense, if that makes sense.
It's like it's opaque, but it doesn't look thick.
Right. Somehow. Exactly. It doesn't look like super pulpy orange juice.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good way to describe it, but I think it tastes really well. Like really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good beer, and I think Lupulin's really cool. Like
so this is a 4-pack. What was the price on this?
It was like $16. Yeah, so I mean, it's a little up there. It's up there, but I don't know. You know, like they don't release these all the time. This is only their second one in probably 4 months. So every couple months, you could grab this. It's no big deal.
I'm happy with it.
I really am. Yeah.
What would you guys say is a fair price for a really good 4-pack?
I'd say like really good to be like I'd like to pay.
$13.99, is that fair?
Yeah, $14.
$14 for like a really good beer.
More than that.
Yeah, $14 to me is like.
But I pay it, so what do I? I mean, yeah. I'm voting with my wallet, not with me bitching on the podcast about it.
Yeah, I'm like, God, those bastards. But yes, I'll do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is a really good beer. They definitely nailed it. Lupulin doing great work. And it just shows that there's really good beer all over this state, not just in the Twin Cities, not just in Northeast Minneapolis. There's a lot of great places. I think that I always notice this. The two things I notice whenever I travel anywhere else in the country, I'm always excited to try their food, and I'm always excited to try their beer. And like I told you guys before, Minnesota has damn good food and damn good beer.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I need in life.
Well, because like, what do you want? In Minnesota, you can pretty much get it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like any walk of life, like food, I think for the most part, you'll be able to find it here in the Twin Cities.
I haven't found a good like donor kebab. And I'm still pissed about that. And I still haven't tried good poke.
Spitz.
You got to go to Spitz.
I've tried it, and I'm not.
That's not good.
No, poke can't be good in Minnesota, no matter what, because they can't catch. They can't get it here fast enough.
Yeah,
like they'd have to like literally like have a plane that had ocean water in it that had like living fish that they like butchered when they landed.
Even then, like the fish would be like stressed out, and like the super
the pressure would like ruin the meat or something.
Sushi chef would be like, no, this is no. Fish was unhappy when I killed it.
You need the Star Trek, the Enterprise, when they built the whale tank.
Oh, that was genius. Save the whales episode? Holy shit.
Clear aluminum.
Mm. Wow.
Scotty came up with that.
Of course he did.
I do have a question for you guys. Staying with the food and beer thing. Oh. What is the food of Minnesota?
Hot well, dish?
According to like some magazine from like a couple years ago, it was grape salad.
Yeah.
Which I've never fucking had in my entire life. What
the
fuck is
that? It's like and USA Today, like the food, but... The problem
here
was,
were offended.
Is that they had to give every state a different like side dish for Thanksgiving or something. And so like, come
they're
on,
like
Minnesota,
the people
they're gonna
of
just,
Minnesota,
like, literally...
they sure love grape salad.
In all honesty.
I've like, actually had some amazing grape salad with like chicken
sure,
and wild rice
it's great.
And shit. Oh my
but
God.
But it's not the state
celery,
food. You don't have it at every event that you go to. I feel like it would be like fried walleye.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's... A fish fry with what? Yeah, I like
I think
that.
That's
Guys,
a good
that
one.
That happens so rarely.
Oh, stop it, Eric.
It happens all the time in my fucking life, dude.
I think it's the Juicy Lucy Easy.
But yeah, but you don't, nobody makes those at home.
The Juicy Lucy
Nobody
is,
makes those at home.
Is what people, what Minnesota is famous for at this point. And
yeah,
we pretend it's Matt, hot dish. It's no. Matt's. It's 5-8. It's the Blue Door Pub. It's the Nook. It's all of these places.
Yeah.
And then everyone now has made their own version of it. I think it's become... The de facto Minnesota food, the juicy.
But you know
Lucy.
What's better than cheese on the inside?
Cheese on the
top,
outside.
Just like a fucking normal cheeseburger.
So
you
I
get a little
at,
in every
I,
bite and not like one bite that it all molten hot fucking lava drips all over your face and the plate. And then you're like, oh, I guess this is just pretty much a regular burger now.
I disagree. I think if you go to Matt's where they have like the cheap cheese in it, you know, and
that
cheap
works.
Cheese just works. It just seems like
the
it's in every bite.
American.
Yeah. It's like kind of on there. You're dipping it in it a little
just
bit.
Just because it's... thick and sticky enough no matter how hot it gets.
Yeah.
It's like napalm.
So I think my rankings go the Nook, Matt's, 5-8 is like number 10.
Oh, wow.
And then like any random bar you want to stick in there that has a Juicy Lucy.
Blue Door Pub
than,
where they have like every
you don't
Lucy.
Like, you
the
Blue like
the Blue Sea sucks.
Oh, God.
I'm all on board the Matt's train.
Matt's is Matt's, very good.
I think Matt's is
but
the
I
go-to.
Think the Palmolator at the Nook, which is the like pepper jack cheese stuffed with like bacon, is my favorite one. But if you're going to go OG, if you're going to make me decide between Matt's and 5-8, it's Matt's all day without even a discussion.
Apparently.
It's fantastic.
I haven't tried either one.
They're really good, man.
Well, can we do it as a pod field trip?
Yeah, I mean, I just had to try it. I just can't believe it.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's do that pod field trip.
I love it.
I went there one time, though, and they're like known for like their shitty service. And I was
no, they're good.
I was like,
they're very friendly.
I was like, hey, can I get a menu?
Like, it's on the wall.
Yeah, and they were like, are you fucking dumb?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I just wanted to know a beer menu. And they're like, cheap beer, dude. Like,
no, they have craft beers.
Fancy?
There.
Yeah, they have craft that's pretty much there. Where we're at. All right, guys.
But they, one caveat on that.
We'll get to sports, okay? This is way better.
I used to live pretty close to Matt's, and like, you can call and do like a takeout order, and it'll be ready in like 10 minutes, which is great.
That is nice.
But if they're busy, they just don't answer the phone.
Right.
So you call there, and it just rings and rings and rings. And they're just like, no, we're not picking it up. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Come in if you want something. And
if you want some
you
shit, get it. But fuck off if you're trying to call. We're too busy to answer the phone. Like, really? You can't have like an intern answer the fucking phone?
An intern? You think there's interns in restaurants?
Yes. They're like hostesses. Like, you pay them for like $3 an hour.
Is that all? Jesus.
Anyway, lightweight.
Okay.
All right, guys, it's time. It's time to move on to sports. And we have to start with the team of Minnesota. We talked about the food of Minnesota. It's now time to talk about the team of Minnesota. That's the Minnesota Vikings. I don't care what anyone says. The Vikings, they're the team that everyone cares about in town. And the best part about the NFL, there's a lot of bad parts of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, their complete and total knowledge of concussions and the terrible effects and how they did nothing about it. The fact that they want no voice for their players and they seem to be pretty racist.
That's not great.
Non-guaranteed contracts for guys literally risking their lives. There's a lot of things not to like about the NFL, but the NFL is also the top ticket. And the Vikings are always in the news, and the NFL is always in the news. That's the best part about that sport. And so the draft is just around the corner next week. We'll talk a little bit about the draft.
Maybe we'll do some draft analysis next week.
Yeah,
we'll
some of the things.
Predictions and some things to watch for. We'll make it, and I won't make it. I'll just listen to you guys, and I'll be a surrogate for the audience. It will be fun to listen to this and then enjoy the draft a lot more.
Yeah,
it's an agreed. Enhancement.
It'll be yes. It'll be a lot of fun because we can talk all day about who we think the Vikings are going to take, right? And we know the positions that are necessary for this team to succeed, but it's also fun to just speculate of like, what if? Mm-hmm. Now, hear me out here, you know, and you just say like, they trade down or we trade up and blah, 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 and then we get this person. How does that change our team? Those are fun scenarios to run through. Mm-hmm.
So the Vikings will talk draft next week as they try to fix some of the holes on that team, mostly on the offensive line, hopefully, maybe some of the depth and even maybe a starter on the defensive line. But the big news of the Vikings this week was Adam Thielen signing a contract extension. He gets a, was it 4 years, $64 million, I believe?
Something, and I think it averages out to like $16 million per season.
So 4 years, $64 million. I think it's a little more back-loaded, so it gives them a little cap space in the present to make sure they can sign all those draft picks.
And loaded with tons of like, you're still alive bonus. And your left foot is still attached to your body bonus. And
it could go up as much as $73 million. He probably will never see through the whole contract at some point. I'll probably restructure back down to something lower. But in the short term, he gets a big pay raise. And it's good for Thielen. It's good for the Vikings. My favorite thing about this was that with all these prima donna wide receivers in the NFL complaining about their contracts, demanding trades, and causing problems, Adam Thielen, who truly is a superstar wide receiver in the NFL,
absolutely
said it will get done, and he never raised a fuss about it. And the Vikings said the same thing, and the two of them in their own time worked out a deal that worked for both of them.
And he had just signed a deal
2 years ago.
2 years ago, which was like I think
small deal.
Well, but like small compared to where he was at, it was a huge deal for him. And then he's upped his game every year since then. The good side is like we lock up a superstar wide receiver for the next 4 years. The other like positive to that is he's 29, so this doesn't hamstring the Vikings for any long stretch of time at wide receiver. He'll probably still be very good and very serviceable during those time periods.
Yeah.
So, it's all positive
for four more years too.
Okay.
Same thing. So
where does this put Thielen compared to some other contracts for wide receivers?
He's like
just like 15,
4, 5, 6 million below some of those really.
So yeah, he's in the middle of the pack.
I think he's so
above average, obviously, because there's a lot of grateful wide receivers that don't even play. But
yeah, he's so grateful to come from literally making nothing from a random tryout to now he's making $16 million a season. He's like, that's plenty.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm so excited. I
he
feel like
stay here in his home state.
Little bit of hometown discount on that. To like he's got two kids here now, or you know they're gonna be. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I could foresee him like coaching with the Vikings, right? Just cool.
Career guy.
I made a ton of money. I made $70 million over the course of 4 years. Great. I don't have anything else to work for. I'm gonna do this for fun. I'm gonna coach. Maybe I'll make some decent money doing that, but. I could see him just sort of sticking around because it's his home state and he loves the team, and I think it's phenomenal for everybody.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's a big move for them, and they've got the core locked up. A lot of those guys are going to be there long term. So Thielen, Diggs, Cook, all locked up long term at this point. Elflein and O'Neal should be there long term. Hopefully, Elflein is back up after a kind of a down season. They've got a bunch of guys locked up though. Danielle Hunter locked up. Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Xavier Rhodes, Mike Hughes, Harrison Smith.
And then two Linval more.
Joseph, Everson Griffin. I mean, the team is locked up for a while here. It's pretty nice.
Two more restricted free agent signings today as well.
Yeah, so Anthony Harris, who Pro Football Focus ranked as, I believe, their top safety in the league last
year. Came in kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, undrafted free agent out of Virginia. And he replaced Andrew Sandejo. And he was one of the top safeties in the league. He was instantly like a superstar player. He's a restricted free agent. They gave him a decent tender. I think it's a second round tender. So if anyone wants to sign him, they have the right of first refusal, and the team would have to pay a second round pick to sign him away from the Vikings. So, and then Rashad Hill's their swing tackle. He can play left tackle, right tackle. He can play as an extra sixth lineman if need be. He's just a valuable piece to an NFL team, a guy with versatility. We need depth.
Even if he's not a starter, fine. We still need more bodies to back up.
Definitely. So good moves by the Vikings there.
Considering like we have no cap space at all.
The Thielen deal actually gave us a little more cap space. A
small amount of breathing room.
Enough that we'll be able to sign our free agents, and I would assume that they'll have enough to go get some vets, anyone who's cut late, that they could go and get on a cheap deal.
Are we pretty much looking at the team at this point, though?
Yes, plus draft picks. And like, I would guess you're going to get some draft picks. I would guess that there'll be one or two vets that still sign for them.
Okay.
That
anybody are just, you think will start, or is this a depth moves at this point?
I think whoever they take in the first round will be – I think there's only three positions that are an option for the first round. I'm going to say four, and we'll talk more about this next week, I guess.
Of course.
O-line is obviously the number one. I think a lot of people think Jonah Williams from Alabama will be the guy. He can play guard or tackle.
If we grab him,
absolutely.
He starts.
He starts instantly at some position.
That's exciting.
Most of the starting O-linemen for Alabama are NFL ready.
Yeah.
Out of the gate.
He would be, and if he falls to us, I mean, he's kind of a safe pick, I think, and I think he would jump in and be a quality NFL lineman right away.
Cool.
I could also see them taking a tight end in the first round, one of those two, Font or Hockenstein, is that his name?
Something like that.
The two guys
I would love either one of those
either
guys.
Either of those guys from Iowa would be instant upgrades over Rudolph, even though Rudolph's a nice player. They could both be picks there.
But then you could also cut Rudolph and save some money there.
Yeah. Interior defensive lineman is something that they're going to look at in the first two rounds, I think. So I think more likely in the second round than the first round. But I think if there's the right player there who could play three tech and replace Sheldon Richardson, they would take him in the first round. And then the outside chance is Mike Zimmer sure as hell loves his
cornerbacks.
If a guy like Greedy,
I'm almost guaranteed that he's going to take a cornerback.
If Greedy Williams,
but not in the first round,
fell to them at 18 in the first round, he would take him. He loves corners. And honestly, I will say this though, if there's one position that you can't have enough good players,
you cannot have enough. You're right.
It's cornerbacks.
And look at what happened last season. We had undrafted Holton Hill starting,
and he was a nice
player. Now he's suspended.
He looks good, but he's suspended for the first four games, and so I could imagine that as an outside chance as well. But look for them to strengthen the guys on the offense and defensive line. We'll talk a little more about that next week.
Can't wait.
Also, the schedule is going to be released in the next few days, so we already
I think
know
it's tomorrow.
The opponents.
Well, so maybe when people are listening to this, the schedule may already be out. But as we're recording this on Tuesday, the schedule is supposed to come out on Wednesday, I believe.
Okay.
So we know, like you said, we know the opponents. We just don't know when those are going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, Russell Wilson of the Seahawks, he set a deadline for the Seahawks to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and it worked. On the last possible day before he said he would refuse to ever sign with them again, he was signed as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
4 years, $145 million? Is that what it is? Something like that.
That's crazy money. Mm-hmm. That's crazy money. What is
$65 million signing bonus?
I mean, think
something
about
like
that.
You know, it's gonna be prorated, but like, it's still a lot of money.
It's so funny. It's all about timing because he's the highest paid player in the NFL, but he's not even the best quarterback in the NFL. You know what I mean? It's just, it's all about who's up. Who's up to deck?
I mean, he's making like well over like $35 million a year. I mean, I don't know what his cap it is, but I mean, really, when you think about the breakdown, it's about $36-37 million a year, I believe,
with a no trade clause,
which is just insane money. So it's funny because Minnesotans, we always talk about this. Minnesotans, you act like these professional teams are spending your money, and that we're so irresponsible for signing Parisi and Maurer and Suter and Cousins, and we were wasting all of your hard-earned money that you earned at your job.
They're also pretty trash Wiggins players.
Yeah.
No, but in all reality, though.
Which one of those is like an all-time Hall of Famer?
Yeah, right.
Any of them?
No, but like
literally,
but like, the problem is you're paying the going rate, and like we all act like Cousins is so vastly overpaid, but in all reality, this year he's going to be pretty fairly paid, and by next year he will probably be
out of
underpaid.
The top
10. Yeah. Yeah. He's already probably going to be around 10th this year in quarterback pay.
I think the only difference that people argue is that his contract is fully guaranteed.
Sure, but they weren't going to cut him anyways.
Again, but that's the only thing that people would say, like, okay, yeah, we didn't need to do that, but we did anyway.
But in already, they were not going to pay a guy almost $30 million a year and then cut him. I mean, he's paying $28 million a year. There's an agreement. He's your quarterback for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
whether it's fine. Guaranteed, they could have guaranteed 0% of it. And guess what? He'd be back this year, and he'll be back next year.
And then we got Kyle Sloter waiting in the wings.
And it's just, to me, it's crazy.
And redraft first. Our first pick as a quarterback.
Christian Ponder Jr.
People don't realize, though, that the guys who are free agents set the market, or guys who are about to become free agents set the market. And so that's what happened with Cousins. So Cousins signed that deal. Since then, I believe Matt Ryan, even Alex Smith signed a deal that was similar, bigger. Jimmy Garoppolo signed a similar deal. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers yeah. broke it all, and now Russell Wilson. Next up will be Cam Newton. After that will be guys like Andrew Luck. We'll need a new deal, and then it will be your Wentz, Goff.
Yeah.
You know, they'll like be everyone. Up for round two. And it's just like it's going to continue forever, and these quarterbacks are going to make more and more and more money. And guess what?
Well, even the Nick Foles's of the world sort of shake that up too. Like you had
20
like years ago,
for Foles.
Mike Glennon like yeah. making
15
absurd
or 16
money,
million for
and
Mike
you're
Glennon.
Just like, what is going on with this market? And mm-hmm. it's going like the complete opposite direction. It'll swing back a little bit to like maybe like more like fair market value, but it's the most valuable position on the field for football.
It is, and like you're gonna be overpaid your first year for sure. You are. So Cousins was overpaid last year. This year, Cousins will probably be fairly paid. And next year, Cousins will probably already be underpaid mm-hmm. just because that's how crazy the quarterback market is in the NFL. It's the biggest sports league in the world with the most expensive franchises in the world, and you're playing a position that is the most important. And that's what happens. These big-time quarterbacks make a fortune. Mm-hmm. And so it's just crazy. I mean, that's just what has to happen in the NFL, and people just need to accept it. All right.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better?
It does.
Okay.
Let's move on to soccer, where Minnesota United opened up their new stadium, the Allianz Field.
So there's Allianz also field. An Allianz in Germany field, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, it's Bayern Munich.
Okay. They play, and is it the same one. Company? I mean, it is,
yeah.
right?
And there's another one in Italy, I believe. There's multiple of them around the world. Right. But Munich is the
but
main
we
one.
We have the Minnesota one, and I guess it's pretty dope. I heard rave reviews.
It looked cool. If you saw any of the food previews, it's a very Minnesota State Fair Target Field, like food bevy that you can go.
Oh, they have a lot?
Oh, they got Indian food, we got burgers, we got dogs, we got anything
you
need. You
literally never get up from your seat. Sounds great.
You got anything you want.
Yeah.
It's the State Fair smorgasbord of field food.
That's the only thing I'm disappointed with US Bank Stadium. They don't have any fucking variety of food.
It's pretty terrible.
I think they're working on it, but...
But...
I'll go Target Field. They got everything.
Anyway, so the reviews of Allianz Field thus far have been fantastic.
Yeah.
The product itself, the team itself, probably still a little bit remains to be seen. It's been a decent start to the season thus far. I think they're fine. It's also MLS, so not great. Just in general. I feel like the MLS is already being kind of critical that there's only 19,000 seats in the stadium.
Oh, really?
They're already what are your guys' plans for expansion for this stadium so far?
How do you know that? I mean, what makes you think that?
Like the MLS guy, the president of the MLS or whatever was like, well, yeah, we can add another 10,000 seats if we need to or something. And everyone's like, we just opened this yesterday. What do you mean? We're not planning expansion yet, dude.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
Are they selling out already? Is that
idea? It's sold out for sure. And I think the MLS is just in order to grow the game, you need to be like Atlanta and spend a bunch of money and have 70,000 people watching your game. And Minnesota were like, yeah, but we're this quaint little team. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be too showy. We don't want to sell
out every game for sure. Kind of Wild.
It's very similar to the Wild mentality. And I think because the owner was building this with his own money, was like, I'm not I'm not building 70,000.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this is going to do.
Right.
If we need to expand, maybe. But then, like, after the first game, like, the commissioner of the MLS is like, so, yeah, we're going to add 10,000 more seats. Like, no problem. Like, it's only another 200 million. So, just chill. So, but anyway, I think everything was, other than the final score, was a pretty good success for opening a snowy soccer weekend.
2-1 or something like that?
3-3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't.
When their goalie let in, like, a...
the worst own goal I've seen in, like 2 years.
It was a back pass to the goalie, and he, like, tripped over his shoes.
Nah. He, like, tripped over the ball and, like rolled...
the ball rolled right into the net.
It was pretty bad.
That's rough.
All right, guys.
But, yeah, that's great.
United are on the map now.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of soccer, the EPL is in full swing. We're at the very end here. It looks like the most likely scenario is that City wins the title.
Liverpool. It does look like Liverpool will win out. City will probably win out, and that will be, they will win by one.
Liverpool finishes in second, Spurs in third, Arsenal in fourth, Chelsea in fifth, and United in sixth. Mm-hmm. Looks like
I think it's going to be United 5, Chelsea 6.
So it's going to be a little wild here at the very end. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to stumble, though. Arsenal lost to Everton, and then...
everyone stubs their toe.
Yeah, right. They do. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, the league...
Well, the City has to stub their toe, then.
The league gets so desperate here at the very end, and so it's just must-watch television. There's a couple big-time games. I believe this week you have Spurs and City.
Twice
once this week.
Once Champions League and then once Premier League.
So, I mean, yeah. It's going to be
absolutely
crazy.
I'll be rooting for Spurs. Like, I am their biggest fan. I'm Zach Keim. I am, like, going to buy a
jersey.
You
traitorous son of a bitch.
I'm not. I'm cheering for City.
Full City.
You're cheering for City?
Fuck Spurs.
Wow. Dude, we're fighting.
Well, I thought we were friends.
Dude, we're fighting tooth and nail to make the top four, man. I don't give a fuck about Liverpool right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You actually do need
them to
lose.
Fighting so hard to get in the top four. All right. Literally, I
feel
like...
Never mind.
I feel
it's
like
not
the
personal.
Same difference.
I won't take it personal.
No, I feel like it's fully personal. I feel like fuck Liverpool. Fuck Spurs.
Only
fuck
because
United.
You like them.
Fuck them all.
I feel like the fate of my team relies on making top four right now, so I don't care what blood is shed. We
and
have
the funny
to make
thing
it.
is that I am rooting for Arsenal also to make top four. I am. I mean, or Chelsea, or I just
why?
I want all three of our teams to go into the Champions.
I think what
League
we need
year.
We need to have like a come to Jesus moment with you, and that is like it's cool to like kind of quaintly root for your friends' teams, but at the end of the day, I don't want Liverpool to win the title. I don't want Arsenal to win
crazy.
The title.
I'm
why?
Telling you,
why would I want?
No,
like,
you
our biggest
you're rooting
rivals.
For City over
yes,
Liverpool.
Absolutely,
I am.
100%.
I'm cheering for City. If
so we got this is a Eric. I'm touching Eric on the arm here because this is a little bit of a reality check for Jimbo. He doesn't understand. Like we've sort of tolerated like the noob mentality of like, yeah, I want everyone's team to make the top four, and I'm
everyone's
like,
just ours. I mean, we're friends. We're a podcast.
Fuck all of your teams. I only care about my team.
So here's you just actively you like root against Liverpool randomly when
all
they're
the
playing
time.
Like
all the time. I cheer against
Everton.
all the time. I'm like. This
oh,
is
just because you have a history with Liverpool already,
this
and
is how
so they're just a top team, and so you want them to lose.
This
no
is how
what.
I check top.
Don't care.
This is how I check top soccer scores. I check soccer scores by looking at did Arsenal win? Actually, I probably watched the game, but did Arsenal win? And then I just scroll through the other top five of the top six. I'm like, Liverpool, okay, they drew, great. Chelsea, they are losing, but they'll probably win because Hazard will score late, fuck. And then United won, damn it. And then City won, damn it. And then Spurs won, damn it. That's how I look at scores for
yes,
soccer.
Exactly.
I hate all those teams. I look at those teams every single time.
Hope all
I
of
cheer
them
all
lives.
Five of them lose every single time. And honestly, the only reason I actually like Liverpool more than I like City, okay? But you're going to think this is like a psychotic way of cheering. I would prefer City to win. Because they're already rich as fuck and already great, and I don't want Liverpool to join them there.
Yeah.
I would prefer that Liverpool didn't win so that they don't permanently, or at least for the next decade, pass Arsenal like for a while.
Yeah.
And then...
No, I get that, and you've said that before. And
Liverpool doesn't have a league title since it became the English Premier League.
Yeah,
right?
I'm
so
hoping
like,
they don't get one.
That kills one of our chance, which is champions of England, we know what we are, and y'all can't sing it. And it's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. So
one of our chance.
So we
all right.
Gave Jimbo a little reality check. I feel like he's
this
very upset. I think he's very hurt right now.
I'm a little bit hurt. I'll get over it.
I'm
going to
tell you how
I
want
to
go. This is how I want to go.
Fine, but
City
damn.
To win first place in dramatic fashion would actually be really fun. Liverpool to finish in second place. Arsenal to finish in third, Chelsea to finish in fourth, United to finish in fifth, and Spurs to finish in sixth would be the perfect finish.
Can
for
the Wolves
me.
Somehow finish in sixth?
They can't. They're like 17 points down.
Too far back.
Okay, okay. So to me, Spurs in sixth, United in fifth, Chelsea in fourth, and Arsenal in third would be perfect.
So switch those first two, and I'm right with you guys. Obviously.
I'm not going to be upset. As long as I would happily have... I would let anyone but Spurs win the title so long as Arsenal can make the top four, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, really and truly, I hate the Spurs, and I just want to make top four. We are in the wilderness. And
really,
the only
so long
way out,
as anyone but Liverpool and Spurs make win the title, then we're all set.
That's a lie. Stop.
So I hope you guys are
enjoying. So really, just City or Chelsea is I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I hope you guys, yeah, and also I'm really afraid of United ever winning the title again, because that means that they'll be back to just dominating and having an infinite money forever. And
well,
United
is a douchey ass team.
Oh, they're the worst.
I'm so glad that they left Jose in charge for like half the season and they were terrible.
Yeah.
For that half
the
season.
He like sabotaged them for half
literally
to get
like
fired.
Destroyed
they could
their
not,
team. Yeah.
Yeah, recover from that.
Then they were like, oh, actually we're super loaded on talent and we have tons of money and we're actually really good.
Turns out Paul Pogba should be starting.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Paul Pogba should be starting and playing an important role. Yeah. Like yeah, we should just put what if we played our best players?
Just crazy idea across the board, just play our best players at their positions.
They were like, "All right, so here's what we're going to do. Instead of playing Fellaini, we'll play Pogba.
Yeah.
We'll make sure Marcus Rashford's in the team most of the time, and we'll probably be just
Oh, that 19 guy? Yeah. We should have him in there for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that teenager who Real Madrid
the
really
20-year-old?
Would like to sign?
Yeah. He runs like a 4-2. Yeah, sure.
Please put him in the team. So, yeah, I think that the Premier League is a blast. We tell you all the time. And how about this? Last week, I specifically asked our fans, I said, if you love pro wrestling, do you want us to talk about it more than never? And you said...
Pretty much almost nothing.
Mostly
well,
nothing.
I think we got a few enthusiastic yeses, which was fun.
A few people who were like, hell yeah, and mostly people who were silent.
Yeah, right.
I think they wanted to hear more from Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And you've been working on it already mentally or what?
No, but...
Okay, it's coming?
Next week.
All right.
We might hear a little Stone Cold.
Okay.
Just so you guys know, too.
I'm going to go by your cube this week, and you're going to be like watching videos and like practicing.
Well, I got to hear it.
Yeah. Well, you got to hear it.
Well, he said, you've heard of John 3:16. Well, Austin 3:16 said, I just whooped your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to say,
that's
though.
That's pretty epic.
It is. My brother, at my wedding in the reception, he gave a speech, and he talked about how... My favorite wrestler was Shawn Michaels, and his was Goldust. So It just hit home with the late 90s.
He also like mentioned Ron Jeremy.
Mary Jane, Jimbo.
Oh, yeah. I was in it.
In the same sentence.
It was a wild ride and one of the best speeches I've ever heard in anything, let alone a wedding.
Yeah. So there you go. So
Premier League finish from all of that.
We went to Ron Jeremy, Mary
Jane. It's going
to
be wild.
It went wild there.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. There's literally four teams competing for the top four when two slots are available, and there's two teams that are competing for the title.
Right.
When there's obviously one winner.
So there was a poll.
Separated by a point.
There was a poll on like the Facebook from English Premier League, and Liverpool had like 58% of the votes. Who's going to win? Is that just based on who has bigger, more fans?
Maybe. Or who saw the poll more? I don't know.
Because City is still the favorites.
For sure.
I mean, they're up.
The only difference is I think the schedule might be a little bit more favorable for Liverpool, but...
City's just got to draw, man. Got to draw.
Even if they drop a point, right?
Yeah.
They're still going to win. So, like, they're already the favorites, just they're...
That's okay.
In general.
They drop a point and we win, and then we get 2 points
on them. No, if they drop a point.
But you drop either...
You drop two or one. Sorry.
Yeah,
I was
so
doing
like,
the math wrong.
If they draw, we win. I mean, it's just
but
that
then that also
crazy.
Assumes Liverpool has to win out as well.
Yeah.
So you guys literally can't drop any points.
No. Nope. Yeah. I mean, like, if we draw one and they lose one, we tie...
And they still win on goal differential. Yeah. So, yes.
Math
is
interesting.
Yeah. Math is hard.
But just as crazy as City has won the title at the last minute, they could easily lose it.
I certainly hope so.
You have no idea. Now, the other caveat with the relegation piece is that two teams are already relegated. And the third relegation spot is kind of mostly decided, barring any like sort of miracle finishes from, is it Brighton that's in the third spot? I forget who's sitting there, but there's like one team that's like 7 points behind or 6 points behind. So it's like kind of already, so like those teams that are fighting for relegation are already sort of like, Fulham's already relegated.
Yeah.
Maybe it is Brighton.
It's Cardiff City.
Cardiff.
They're they're 2 points behind Brighton, and Brighton has a game in hand.
Okay.
So they're in trouble. They did win their last game, which was huge. But yeah, they're in trouble. It's just crazy. It's a great league. The relegation has
there's
a lot to
there's
it.
Only one team that's really like trying to get out of relegation.
Yeah.
Hmm. So there's not any of those bottom feeders that everyone's sort of like trying to fight for those table scraps at the last minute.
Yeah.
That's not really going to be the case this year.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think that's all the time we have this week for the Northeast podcast. Go back, check out our Thrones cast, first of its name. Go back and check out our screencast, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the sports talk. Next week, we'll talk NFL draft. We'll be back with episode 2 of Game of Thrones, and we'll talk more Do We Care with the screencast. So, till then, thanks for listening to the Northeast podcast.